Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
John chapter 14, then we'll go to John chapter 7 this evening. Hallelujah. Isn't God good?
Yes.
Praise God, praise God. What a day we live in. My, my, my. I am amazed. I am just absolutely, every day it seems like, you think it can't get any crazier and it gets crazier by the day? But you know, the Bible says, look up. Everybody say, look up.
Look up.
A lot of people are looking down, but it's time to look up. Amen. And this is, listen, this is the day. This is the hour to serve God with everything you've got. It is amazing. The spirit of apostasy in the earth. Of how many people are deceived. Many people are going in a wrong direction, but I've got good news. There's a lot going in the right direction too. Thank God we go in the right direction. Amen. Now here in John chapter 14, look at verse 15. We've looked at this when we kind of started this. This is kind of like a very simple or a refresher on the basics. Everybody say the basics. You got to be, listen, you got to major on the majors and minor on the minors. A lot of people like to major on the minors, but I've always noticed these major doctrines of the Word of God help keep you strong, help keep your feet on the ground, amen? And when everything starts shaking, you won't. Everybody say, I won't. Jesus speaking said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. Now notice that again. For the world cannot receive. He's not talking about salvation. Because the world can receive salvation. If the world couldn't receive salvation, you're not saved. But thank God the world can receive it. So he's talking about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The world cannot receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost because you first must be born again. Amen. Now notice what he says here. Even the Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Now, why can Jesus say, but you know him? Because he knew he'd be writing to Christians down through the years. Amen. And he knows that people know him through the new birth. How many, when you got born again, you got to know him? Amen. It wasn't just an introduction. You got born again. You got to know Christ. You got to know him. Amen. So it says here, let me get back to the scripture. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Everybody say, with you. Now, why does he put with you in front of in you? Here's why. They had never discovered in you. In you was unavailable then and was unavailable for the four centuries before then. Amen? Unavailable. There was no in you. There was only with you. Only with you. Upon three different types of people, the Spirit of God would come in the Old Covenant. Upon the prophet, everybody say the prophet. Upon the priest, everybody say the priest. And upon the king, everybody say the king. Now, isn't that amazing that in the New Covenant, God calls you all three. Actually, doesn't call you a prophet, but calls you a priest and a king. Amen? So the anointing of God came upon them as God willed. You know, Elijah without the anointing ran from Jezebel. With the anointing, he killed 400 prophets of Baal. Amen? Who was it? Jonah, with the anointing, preached repentance to a city, and they repented, and he ended up under a juniper tree crying to God. Amen? So when that anointing was on them, there was strength. There was power. There was supernatural ability. Amen? But man, when it was off of them, they were just normal people. But that's the good news of the new birth, is it's not the Spirit of God just coming upon you, it's the Spirit of God moving into you as a permanent habitation. Forever. Woo! Forever. Forever. Part of God will be part of you forever. Part of God, let me say it like this. Part of God will be all of you forever. And the amazing phenomenon is you will not be a God. You will still be a human being, but you will be a partaker of the divine nature. Glory to God. Amen. But now notice, with you, in you. Now, this is the great reality of the new covenant. That's why the devil fights the baptism and the Holy Ghost so strongly, is because he knows if those people get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, they're walking in that double anointing that's been talked about all down through that old covenant. They're walking in literally a double portion of the Spirit of God. Amen. So the new birth, everybody say the new birth. We looked at that for the last couple of weeks, how it's like the wind. Its activity in you shows up later. It bends you. We use the illustration of the wind blowing in the trees. Down in South Texas, the mesquite trees, they grow a certain direction because of the predominant or the prevailing winds down there. You see a lot of other things that grow like that down there. But see, the thing about the Spirit of God, it moves in your life in an unseen realm and produces seen results. Let me say that again. It moves in your life in an unseen realm and produces seen results in your physical body, in your finances, certainly in your spirit, man, in your soul. If you grow in the things of God and grow up in the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, then certainly your outward condition will change. Amen. How many of your outward condition change when you start serving God? Anybody live a little better? Drive a little better? Wear a little better, eat a little better. Of course. Of course you say, why? Because you're a child of God. Now go, if you will, back up a little bit into John chapter 7. John chapter 7, we've got a feast going on, the Feast of Tabernacles is going on there, and Jesus is, he's about had enough of it. I know how he feels sometimes. Verse 37 of John chapter 7. Now look at this just for a moment. It says in that last day, everybody say last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. One translation says, from the belly of God to the belly of man will flow what? Rivers, everybody say rivers. Rivers. Rivers of living water. Now notice this. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Now notice that terminology. The Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, the good news for today is Jesus has been glorified. The Holy Ghost has been given. Yeah. But now notice what this is talking about. It's talking about rivers. Everybody say rivers. Now, the two illustrations of John's gospel of the Spirit of God in the lives of believers is the well, everybody say the well, and the rivers. Amen. Remember we studied the last couple of Wednesdays about the woman. There, the woman at Samaria, the woman at the well. And everything Jesus talked to her about had to do with salvation. Amen. Now he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about that second-fold working of the Spirit of God. I like to say it like this. In our dispensation, it's the Spirit that abides. Everybody say abides. And the Spirit that empowers. Amen. Same Spirit. Everybody say same Spirit. But now he says here, he that believeth on me, now notice, as the Scriptures hath said. Now this right here gives us protection. I like to call it divine protection for everything that is implemented in the kingdom of God and everything that is manifested, especially in our services, in our lives. We must keep it lined up with as the Scriptures have said. And you know, let me just say this. In 40 years, I've got a little bit of experience in ministry. I've noticed anybody that gets off just a little bit, it's kind of like, I'm not a carpenter. I mean, I can build a pretty good duck blind, or I used to, because I hadn't built one in a long time, but I buy them now, you know. But a true carpenter, somebody that does construction, can tell you that you can be off just a hair over here. But you build that thing and work on that thing and get over, and next thing you know, when you get over here, you're off this much. Where's my contractors? I can tell you exactly what I'm talking about. Listen, the same thing's true in the Spirit. You can be off just a hair, but if you stay with that thing, You're going to end up way over here and you're going to be off a whole lot. Yeah. Amen? And if you've ever had to deal with people like that, I mean, it's crazy. I was telling the story the other day. When we were traveling a lot, people would call and ask us to come. And I preached a lot down in the Corpus Christi area. Corpus Christi, Port Aransas, Robstown, Kingsville, all in that area. Did a lot of ministry in that area. And one particular church kept asking us, kept calling. And I don't know, I just didn't pay attention to it. But he came to a camp meeting I was preaching at. The pastor did. He was really adamant about us coming. So I asked him, call the office. So he called the office. And so I called my pastor friends in that area and asked, you know, this guy, I always, you know, I would do that. If I preached in a city and another church would ask me to preach, I'd always call the pastor whose church I preached in to make sure it was okay with him, because he's the one that brought me into the city. Amen. There's a certain protocol that works real well and things like that. Anyway, all of the pastors said the same thing. The guy's a nut. I said, oh, okay. So we didn't schedule anything. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, go to that church. And so they scheduled me for Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Went to the church, about 300 member church, 300 people there on Friday night, Saturday morning, Sunday night. I thought it was great. I mean, the praise and worship was awesome. There was liberty to flow in the Holy Ghost to minister to people. And Sunday, after the Sunday service, the pastor took me to a beautiful Mexican restaurant there in Corpus Christi, a white tablecloths and all this kind of stuff, and they served some of the best food. And there were several other couples at the table. They had kind of filtered off and left. He and I were sitting at the table together, and he leaned into me and said, now on Mondays, that's when I pray for the people in my congregation. I said, well, cool. He said, well, I leave my body and I fly around and I come into their windows and I can see what's going on in their life, and that helps me to minister. And I'm going. And so he kept on, and the more he talked, the crazier it got. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, he was able to heal all these problems. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. So at home, about 2 days later, I was praying and I just had a thought. I said, Lord, why did you send me to that church? Why did you tell me to go? He said, because you were the last chance that man had. You were the last, because I told him, I said, you're crazy. I said, where do you get that in the Bible? He said, what was it? Philip was translated. I said, that wasn't astral projection. He got literally picked up, and if you do your Bible, if you study your biblical map, dropped 20 miles. It was 20 miles God took him and put him down. There was not astral projection. That's demonic, amen. You say, well, what point are you trying to make? Even with spiritual things, if you get off, God will tolerate it and have patience with you, especially if your heart is right. But if you insist on being a knucklehead, he's going to let you. Amen? So that's why these things, as the Scriptures have said, if it don't line up with the plumb line of the Scripture, then what safety do we have in declaring it either as the Word of God or the works of God? Right. Yeah. Amen? So that's just a little rabbit trail that will help you not to get into trouble. But now notice again, let's read it again, the last day, the great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now here's the key. You read that, you just read across that like you're reading Scripture, reading your Bible, like you read a book, read a story, you just read by that. You don't really see much there. But if you get over there and begin to meditate on this and look at this, notice, if any man what? Now this is not somebody just walking around doesn't know anything about God. This is somebody whose activity in a certain subject is producing a thirst. Amen. What is a thirst? Well, in the natural, we know physically thirst is a lack of water. You know, water is one of the things you got to have, so you got to drink, you know, plenty of water to be healthy. But literally, if somebody is, now we probably know about this a little better than a lot of people do. You work out in the heat in July and August and September in Galveston, you will develop a thirst. Amen? Now, your activity is what creates the thirst. Now, Jesus was at what? He was at the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is the last day. This is the culmination. This is the climax. This is the last day. The what? The great day of the feast. This is the best we can do religiously around here. So maybe they were going to wave a flag or a feather, light a candle, rub a bead, I don't know. But whatever it was, Jesus didn't like it. And he knew there were a lot of people there trying to get something spiritual from God, and their activity has produced a thirst, and they ain't got nothing to drink. So he gets up and says, anyone thirsty? Here's the key. Come unto me. How do you drink? Come unto Jesus. You come unto Jesus. He is the what? He is the wellspring of life. He is the water of life. Come on, church. When you begin to realize that, you begin to come unto Him. How do you come unto Him? In prayer, through the Word, and then, as He is talking about, the Holy Spirit, who is what? He is your helper. He can help you come unto Jesus by faith, even in service settings when you need a touch from God. Whew. Amen. Glory. Let me look at that again. I like that. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Drink is activity. Now, this literally refers to repetitious activity. Amen. Now, how many here used to drink? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know that. And you that raised your hand, if you ever went out to get drunk, you didn't just go sit down and drink a beer and you were drunk. No, you went, you know, to the bar on Friday night or wherever, and you sat down and you had a drink or a beer or a drink, or, and then you had another one. And then you had another one. And then another one after that. And another one after that. Another one after that. You're with Jimbo, see. And another one after that, and another, and then what? One for the road. Now, you've gone from being sober, and a period of time has gone by in which you have partaken and partaken and partaken, and you end up over here drunk or under the influence. So, when you were over here, you were sensible. Now you get over here, and you're not. Come on, church. But you've gone through the process. See, it didn't start out that way. You drank and drank and drank. And you know, drunk people, they think they're normal. Come on. They do. They think they're normal. They're as drunk as that. I can drive. Let me drive. I mean, come on. That, you know. But they're not. They are under the influence. So Jesus says, come unto me and what? Drink. He is telling us this is not an experience at the altar. This is a lifestyle. Walking in the Spirit so you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Your flesh lusteth. And if you don't control it, it will control you. And one of the ways you control your lusty flesh is by getting full of the Holy Ghost, coming to Jesus, and what? Drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. What are you drinking? You're drinking of Him. You're drinking of the Word of God. You're partaking. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He that knew no sin was made sin on our behalf. Therefore, the righteous die. I mean, go scripture. Next thing you know, you're under the influence of what you've been drinking. And here's the key. You're no longer, just like with alcohol, you're no longer sensible. The problem with most Christians is they're too stinking sensible. Because your senses are so strong. You can see. You can hear. You can taste. You can smell. You can feel. It must be real. But God says, no. My Word is real. And that's the problem with a lot of Christians, is they just hadn't got drunk enough yet. They haven't sat there and gone through the process of getting under the influence of the Word to where the Word influences you to the point that nothing else does. What are you influenced by? Are you influenced by the narrative of the day? Are you influenced by some offense? Are you influenced by fear? What is influencing you? If it's the Word of God and the anointing of God, get ready. You're going to be blessed. What are you getting under the... That's like you go listen to what? CNN and Fox and all those guys over and over. And what are you doing? It's the same process. It's the same process. You're drinking, but you may not be drinking the right thing. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye. Look at this again. Come unto me, and what drink? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly, or from the belly of God to the belly of man, shall flow, now notice, rivers. We're not talking about wells now, we're talking about rivers. Everybody say rivers. Now, rivers are unique in that rivers are powerful. And for some reason, we got a group of guys here in America called the Army Corps of Engineers that thinks they can control rivers. In 96, they had a huge flood up in the Midwest. I'd been preaching up in Missouri, was concerned about some friends of mine up there, and was kind of watching the news. And I saw a report. The flooding had gotten so bad. This blew my mind. It showed a map of the Missouri, the Mississippi, and there's another river up there. One of those other rivers up there. Anyway, it showed the three of them, and there was a map overlaid on a map. You know what I mean? Like a map, and then another map overlaid on top of it. Now, the bottom map was the true course of the river. This is how, but the top map was how the Corps of Engineers had altered the rivers and built levees and dams, and literally built cities where the river used to flow. But then it started raining. And this is what the guy said on the news report. He said it rained so much in the watershed, on the water table, that the rivers have returned to their original... their original path, the way God created them. You know, when I saw that, way back in 96, I thought to myself, that's exactly what the devil has done with the move of God. He's built dams. He's built levees of religion. He's built dams of doubt and unbelief. He's channeled the move of God away from the church and away from God's people. But thank God, it's starting to rain. And what's the rain going to do? It's going to raise the water table of the Spirit, the levels of that. I see it now in the prayer room as we pray, as we teach the Word of God. You can sense the intensity of this thing rising higher and higher and higher. It's going to come to a crescendo, which is going to break loose, and those rivers are going to flow just like God designed them. Rivers of salvation, rivers of healing, rivers of baptism in the Holy Ghost, rivers of joy, rivers of revival. But somebody's got to contend for it. Amen. So he's speaking of the Holy Ghost. Now, I have so many Bibles which I've preached on John chapter 7. I went and tried to look at all those notes, and it's just impossible. Because there's so much you can get out of this scripture. Man, when Jesus preaches, man, I tell you, he's the dude, man. Rivers are unique. In that rivers set boundaries, amen, they provide power. It's amazing how they can do that. But not only that, rivers run through many changes of scenery. Kind of like life, huh? But God is showing us here that the rivers of God that flow from heaven, and I tell you what, we have seen 1948 through 72, rivers of healing flowed. I mean, just amazing. 1968, charismatic rivers started flowing. That was, you know, mainly what the charismatic move was denominational people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, there were other things that went on during the charismatic move, but the meat and potatoes of the charismatic move, and it wasn't going on in the church, it was going on in the ballrooms and in some of the stadiums and some of the other places around the country, because the church, for the most part, rejected it, just like they did the healing revival. The healing revival ended up in Canvas Cathedral. Church rejected it. Church rejected the charismatic renewal. Church rejected it for the most part. But here's the thing about the church. The church is the apple of God's eye. The church is the entity of the Lord Jesus Christ in governmental form on the earth right now. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus and Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, when he said, who art thou, Lord? He didn't say, you're persecuting the church. He said, you're persecuting me. Yeah. Amen. We're going to talk about that on Sunday, about what is the church, what really is the church, and how does the enemy fight it? Amen. So we know and we understand that the true design, this is something that God spoke to me 40 years ago when I was in Bible school. He said the last great outpouring of the Holy Ghost is going to happen in and through the local church because it is the only entity on the earth that can house it. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to have to get rid of all our religion, all of our tradition, all that other kind of stuff, and believe God for the rivers to flow. We've seen rivers of salvation, rivers of healing, rivers of blessing flow. But listen, God wants every river that he has to flow at one time into the church and produce the paradise that the church is going to be in the end times before Jesus comes and takes it off the earth. You say, what do you mean the paradise? This is the only place you're going to find peace. This is the only place there's going to be true joy. And this is going to be the only place where you're going to really get the information that you need to help you navigate what's going on out there. Because, buddy, them guys know how to make up a lie every second. It's their nature. Don't get mad at them. It's their nature. It's the nature of their father, the devil. So we have to understand, what is God wanting to do? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. If any generation becomes aware of that in demonstration form, it's got to be this one. You say, why is that? Because we need it. We need it. There are so many people out there that would love to know God, that would love to be saved, but they are so distracted by the day and the hour in which we live. Everything is going by so fast, and it is created a super, super sensitive society. Are you for Hamas or for Israel? Are you for this? Are you for that? On what side? You on this side? You know, I like what the captain of the host said to Joshua when he was facing Jericho. And Joshua turned and he said, are you for me or are you against me? And he said, no, I've come as a captain of the host of the Lord. I'm now come. Hebrews says it like this. I have not come to take sides with you, Joshua. I have come to take over. Well, you think about that. Jesus hadn't come to take sides with one religion or another. He's come to take over and to produce the glorious bride. The Holy Ghost is working now. The Word is working now. The Spirit of God working on the inside of you. But let me say this, because this will kind of give us a preemption. You've never lived in a time when there's been a greater onslaught of the demonic against the church. Against your mind, against your emotions. Every person out there that has not developed true character in Christ, I'm telling you, there are people that are doing things. I'm amazed at what people think they can get away with. But the good news is, I don't have to be their judge, and I'm not their judge, and I'm not their punisher. All I can say is this, if you need restoration, come on. You that are spiritual, we'll restore anybody in a spirit of meekness, lest that same stupidity come upon us. Amen. Boy, what a day we live in. Oh, I still got 3 minutes. Hallelujah. All right, I'll quit doing that. I keep resisting the anointing when it comes on me to teach. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, then I'll quit. Sorry. Praise God. Lift your hands. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Frank. Just worship God for a moment. Lord, we worship you. We glorify your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Out of our belly shall flow. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has been given. Jesus has been glorified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you understand this. I hope you do. I guess you do, because if the Holy Ghost gave it to me another way, I'd question it. How many know what an oppressing spirit is? Do you know what that is? When it comes upon you, you can sense that Several people here have been dealing with an oppressing spirit, and it's been coming at the same time every day. At the same time every day. I don't know if it's in the morning it comes or when it comes, but it's like you're just doing your whatever your routine is, and all of a sudden it's almost like a dread comes upon you. You know what that means? Like you've heard bad news, but nobody's said anything. You know the feeling that you get when you get and your heart kind of sinks, and you just kind of have that sinking feeling. You think, what's that? That's an oppressing spirit. Yeah. And many times if you entertain that thing, it'll lead you to entertain the wrong thought. That's what it's trying to do. It's trying to equate that feeling and then put a thought in your mind. And if you entertain that feeling, he'll put a thought in there. Amen. If that's you, stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands up. You foul spirit of oppression. You get your hands off God's people. In the name of Jesus, I break your assignment. I stop your activity, and I release under these precious saints of God the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and causes the refreshing of God to come upon them. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rabbi. Come, y'all come here. I'm going to lay hands on you. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I'm going to lay hands on you. I said that earlier when we took the offering about tithing being organic. Laying on of hands is organic. Now, come help me, sweetheart. Laying on of hands, the doctrine of laying on of hands in Hebrews chapter 6 speaks of the six basic doctrines of Christ: faith in God, eternal judgment, all of these different things. But one of them is laying on of hands. Now, we can talk about laying on of hands for healing, laying on of hands to separate people into ministry, laying on of hands for blessing. Amen. I've had people lay hands on just for blessing, just for blessing. But this is different. This is laying on of hands to stop the activity of Satan in your life. So the laying on of hands becomes a point of contact and transmission in which both parties release their faith in God. I'm up here standing in faith, believing I receive deliverance from this oppressive spirit. I'm standing on the other side saying this: you oppressive spirit, get your hands off of them in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, stretch your hands and pray. Stretch your hands and pray. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this foul spirit from hell. And in the name of Jesus, as we come and lay hands on each and every one of them, we thank you that the anointing, yes, there it is. Ha ha, ha ha. Glory to God. Man. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Breaks the yoke. In the name of Jesus. Now, listen. You say, it's too hard. Just let go of the past. You can by faith and by the Word of God, for you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Let them pass. Let them pass. Let them pass. Let them be ineffective to determine anything about your future. Let them be ineffective to in any way inhibit what God has for you. Who? Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah, now you're one that can go right back to the basics. It's good to knock. It's good to ask. It's good to seek. But you can be overwhelmed, for the things of God are simple. The things of the Spirit are simple. They're not complicated. And you're free. You're free. As free as you'll ever be. So rejoice in that reality. And don't let any foul voice tell you anything else. For I have set you free by the blood of the Lamb and the power of His mighty name. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's a work of grace going on in you. And if you will let patience have her way, it will work. You said, God, when's it going to work? He said, when you allow it. So get out of the way and let me be God, and you shall see how easy it is. For that which you've labored and worked for, I can do in a moment of time. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, and my brother, I break that spirit of oppression. You leave him alone. You'll not inhibit his destiny or his calling. In the name of Jesus, be free. Be free from it. In the name of Jesus. And my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Whew. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, and our sister, thank you, Father. Ooh, prasangalia shufrada. I break that off of you now in the name of Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. I see that, Lord. I see that, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Righteous change. Expect it. Righteous change. Don't expect gloom, doom. Don't let clouds gather over you. Let the sun shine through the S-O-N upon your heart. Let the day dawn new, for mercy is new every morning. Tears may endure, but joy comes in the morning. And just like Mary of Magdalene, just like Peter, that would not quit, that would not give up, they got their visitation, they got their word. So shall you have a visitation and a word that alters and brings blessing. Blessing where the enemy has tried to bring a curse. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Now lift your hands and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the Spirit that abides. Thank you for the Spirit that empowers. I yield myself unto the Spirit of God. Have your way with me in the Word, in prayer, in my service, in all that I do. Have your way. Have your way. Spirit of God, I thirst for you. I hunger for you, Jesus. I seek you. With all of my heart. Glory to God. Stand on your feet. Praise the Lord. In God good. In God good. Glory to God. Now let me say this. The whole earth. It's amazing. The whole earth is caught up in crisis mentality. They're looking for the next one. And I'm telling you, they're happening like dominoes falling. But I'm telling you, every crisis in this world is an opportunity to preach the gospel. And to believe God. I heard some intercessors the other day. You know, we don't tell everything we know because I know we're recorded. But back in the day, you know, I knew some powerful ladies that prayed. Sister Effie Ward headed up a prayer group and they were praying. This was probably 1985, 86, right before I married Leah. And God put a man's name on their heart. And they prayed for that man. And that man was saved right before he died. And that man's name was Muammar Gaddafi, whose wife was a Christian. And he ended up saved because women in Houston got a burden to pray. And now he's in heaven. So with God, nothing is impossible. And I believe we're going to see certain individuals that are going to be touched by the life and power of God. And it's going to be public, and it's going to be sensational, and it's going to show people God is moving. God is moving. That's why it's important for us to pray, to intercede, and to do the will of God. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you for tonight. We never take it for granted that the Spirit of God moves. We always take time to give you thanks. To give you thanks, Heavenly Father, because it was in your plan. To give you thanks, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, because you wrought it. And you put that Spirit in us and upon us. The Spirit of God, we reverence you and thank you for being in our service tonight. Opening our ears, moving among us, touching our hearts. We leave today. We claim that protection and safety you give us by claiming the Scripture and standing on its promise. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. So whether we travel on the highways, airways, seaways, or no matter what kind of righteous labor we're involved in, we claim that protection. We claim that safety. And we claim it over our loved ones and those that we're ministering to. Thanking you, Father, for the answer. Lord, as we leave tonight, thank you that our spirit man is stirred. Stirred for evangelism. Thank you that we're a blessing to people. An answer to their prayer. A problem to the adversary. Thank you for our hearts being right towards sharing the gospel. Thank you as we leave tonight. We walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward our church. Thank you for our church. Are y'all doing evangelism this weekend? Alan? Praise God. Let's pray over them. Let's pray over them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to take the gospel out on the streets. Brother Allen, others from the church, and others from the area, and others from out of the area will be on our streets. So we lift them up in prayer right now. We bind every demon force that would oppose them, and we declare a door of utterance open on Galveston Island during Mardi Gras in Jesus' name. That men and women coming to party will end up born again by the power of God and the blood of Jesus. Devil, we say in Jesus' name, you cannot hinder the harvest, whether it be from the pulpit or from the street. We thank you that there is an anointing on the men and women of this church to go out and to bring in the sheaves. So we cover them with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We surround them with faith and love, and we declare they will have a good report on Sunday morning in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Father, for our church. We walk in love one toward another. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you called us to be, thanking you, Lord, at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, powered by the word. Amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.